No doubt on the road this morning or just driving around, we see signs like this, and they're helpful signs. When you're teaching a young person how to drive, you teach them about road signs, to pay attention to the road signs, to pay attention maybe even areas that you haven't been, ever been, and see a sign like, you know, slippery conditions, slippery when wet, such that, as that. We might see signs as dead end. And as we're looking at these signs, things are going through my head, of course, as it relates to my sermon. But I'm also thinking of these warning signs and signs that we see out on the road, that if we don't pay attention to them, I mean, can you imagine coming up to a road that says dead end and you ignore that sign? Maybe there's barricades sometimes and you just go right through them. You don't know if there's a hole in the ground. You don't know what kind of obstacles are up there. Sometimes see signs like this. See warning signs that say, no U-turn. It's amazing how many signs around Denver say, no U-turn, but people make U-turns, right? We see that all the time. Or just road closed. All signs, all warnings that we're familiar with that we see. And actually, there's lots of signs. I just picked out a few, but I found this graphic that just shows a lot of signs. And, you know, some, as I mentioned, are really more important than others, but they're all important in a way. A railroad crossing. How many times do we hear a year on the news how somebody either ignored the railroad crossing, or they tried to beat the railroad crossing, or they just ignored the railroad crossing? You're hearing the light rail stuff now. Whatever these signs. These are all warnings. These are all warnings. And we live in a society today that doesn't want to heed warnings. And they see things like this. Well, that speed limit 20, no, that's not for me. That doesn't mean me. They meant that for somebody else. Pedestrian crossing, well, you know, I hope there's no pedestrians cross when I drive my car through. How many times have we heard about different ones? Well, even in other areas of our life, the secular world, we go to a doctor, we get an examination. Sometimes he gives us warnings. Maybe we have a physical, and he might say, well, you need to lose weight. You need to start eating better. You need to exercise. You need to do this. Or through our examination, we found these things. These are some warnings that the doctor is giving you. Maybe you need to take this medication. Maybe you need to do this. Maybe you need to do that. Well, these are warnings. Just like those signs we've seen, this is a doctor giving us warnings. Well, even maybe in a law, this is a lawyer, and he's got the books back there, so you can tell he's a lawyer, and all these papers. We go to a lawyer sometimes for different legal things, and he might tell us that here's some warnings, here's some things you need to pay attention to. Maybe even when you go into a court of law and you're going to have a deposition or you're going to have a lawyer represent you, he might give you a lot of warnings about things you should say and not say and things that you should be aware of. These are all things in life that we can look at, whether it's the warning signs that we see out on the road, whether it's the doctor that we go to, maybe the lawyer we could go to, maybe just something else you think about. Maybe a teacher at school that's giving you instructions and warning you about how to do things and telling you in advance these things. Well, this morning, I want to look at, we're not here to look at road signs. This isn't first, you know, this isn't driver's education this morning. This isn't about doctors and how we all love to go to them and listen to them and lawyers, you know. We just want to look at warnings from the scriptures. And if we believe that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, we're going to understand that God, through all the things that we need to that pertains to life and godliness, the instructions that we need, it doesn't surprise us that there's going to be warnings throughout the scriptures. And maybe you going through your head now, well, what are some of the warnings in the scriptures? And if you have any additional ones, you can let me know, and I'll add those to the sermon tonight. Maybe some that it's not an exclusive list by no means. But I think about when I'm illustrated with teaching our kids how to drive. We also need to teach our kids and one another about the warnings that the Scriptures have given us. And a lot of times in our own life, we failed to heed the warnings. Think about your own life. Maybe the times that you've kind of got tripped up in life. And maybe you look back and think, I didn't listen. I didn't heed the warnings of the Scriptures. I didn't heed what God was clearly telling me to do. And I just overlooked it and just went on my way. Well, let's turn over to Revelations 22, 18 through 19. And that says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the book, the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Now, a lot of times, not every time, I think, but it can be directly, that when the Bible gives a warning, it often gives the consequence of not following the warning. Now, I say that to say this, in every case, it might give a warning, but it may not give the full consequences. But we know what the full consequences are of erring and sinning and not following any of God's word. And we may even talk more in detail about that tonight. But let's just look what this is. Now, this is very, very important. Now, to start with, somebody might say, "I got you, Rob. I got you. You're trying to apply this to the whole Scriptures. And don't you know that this was written about Revelation and this book?" You're exactly right. You're exactly right. This statement applies, I believe, to the book of Revelation. Because if you look at when the book of Revelation was written by John in 96 AD about, the full volume of the Bible was not fully complete like we have today. Okay? But that aside, I believe it does. But is there anybody in the audience tonight or this morning that would like to say that it's okay to do this to the other 65 books in the Bible? I don't think there's one person here that would say, "Yeah, it's all right, as long as it's not Revelation." No, it's not what it's saying. And there's silly people in the world that try to say things like that. "Well, it's not said this anywhere else." Well, we're going to see that it is said. Anyway, that's just a side note. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues," the consequences of that are written in this book, "and if any man shall take away." So we have adding to and taking away. Now, if any of us are savvy at all about the religious world, that's what they've done. The Book of Mormon, is that an additional add to? Well, if you studied the Book of Mormon, it sure is. It's another book. And we were talking this morning right before class about Galatians 1:6-9, that if any angel or anybody bring another gospel other than the gospel that Paul was writing about, let them be accursed. There's absolutely no, this is a warning. This is a warning, not only to us, to everyone, that if any man takes away or adds to God's word, how important is that? That's absolutely tantamount. It's a warning that all of us need to heed, and especially the religious world. And one of the things, as we were talking about those of us that have preached, and Alan preaches, do you know? And I was talking to Cameron and Timothy about their sermon and what they're going to preach on. And you know what I said? Preach the word. You'll be successful. Now, we all have different presentations and different abilities and all that. But at the end of the day, if you get up there and you preach the word of God and not misuse it, you will be successful. That's our whole goal in life. That's what it's all about. And the religious world and a lot of people in the church today, and I just hate to say this, but that's the truth. They've either twisted or removed or taken away. They just aren't taking this serious, and this verse like this should help each one of us to heed this warning. And as I mentioned, this is not something new. Over in Deuteronomy 4:2, it says, "You shall not add unto the word which I command you, Neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Told them under the old covenant. You can't just take away, add to. And we see that that was done, and that's not what it should be. And in the New Testament, 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as what? The oracles of God. We have to have book, chapter, and verse. Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. According to the book. According to the book. And if we get off, or you sit down and have a discussion with somebody about religion, and they didn't bring their Bible, I don't have a Bible study if we don't have our Bible. Because it ain't my thoughts and your thoughts. It don't matter what we think. It's what God thinks. And it's we're to speak only the oracles of God. So this is a warning that comes from the Scriptures. This is a warning that we should all heed. This is a warning we should teach our children and our grandchildren. This is a warning we should heed those that we study with. And this is lost. This is lost. I mean, go on your television sometimes and watch a religious service, and there's not one reference to the Scriptures. It's all storytelling. It's all what I think so. Now, on contrast to that, I've actually seen some sermons on TV that were good. I mean, they were book, chapter, and verse. I was proud of that. But not so, a lot of times. So, well, what are some other warnings from the Scripture? Well, along the same lines, so we have not to take from or add to, and the consequences thereof. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. The warning. But try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Ken and Richard and I were talking before services, and I was asking Ken about his mother, and he can explain more in detail. I'm not trying to bring that out as such, but we were just talking in general how that a lot of people we know, whether it's our parents or grandparents or other people, and they believe certain things. And you know pretty much that those people heard that from somebody, that it was taught to them, maybe even as a youth. And these people still believe these things, and it's hard to sit down with them and unlearn them, if you will, or say, let's just look at the Bible. No, I believe. And you try to find the origin of these things. They didn't heed this. Each one of us is responsible ourselves. We're going to stand before God individually, and we're going to have to answer for how we handled His Word. Did we have book, chapter, and verse and authority for all that we do? Or did we just believe whatever else said and just took a hook, line, and sinker, so to speak? Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. There is false teachers in every religion. Just tell it like it is. If it's not the Lord's church, if it's not those, we're not practicing things that are found in the Scriptures, then it's false. And we need to examine those things. And if we have a discussion with somebody, don't say, hey, you don't know what you're talking about. Maybe they don't know. Sit down and say, can we just look at the Scriptures? Whatever subject you want to talk about, let's just see what the Scriptures say. That's very good for us to do. Deuteronomy 5, 32 to 33 introduces a similar warning. You shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. You shall walk in all ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you possess. When I read scriptures like this, I think of this. Now, one of the things that we're warned throughout the Scriptures is don't take extremes. Sometimes as members of the Lord's church, we can take this extreme over here. Or sometimes as the pendulum swings, we can take this position over here. We have to look at the Scriptures. Now, sometimes people use the word balance, meaning that we don't offend anybody. And that's not what I'm talking about. Or that preaching needs to be balanced. So one week you preach positive, one preacher needs negative, and we keep track in the back. Oh, that was negative. Oh, that was no. That's not what I'm talking about either. Don't take extreme positions and have it balanced out. Now I want you to remember this graphic. Because further on today, as we look at other points, I'm going to refer back to this scale, that it's balanced. And here's an illustration I want you to think about. In the religious world, on one side of the pendulum is, it's all God. It's all grace. It's all mercy. And that's it. There's nothing man can do. Then over on the other side of the pendulum, if you will, is, it's all man. It's all. It's whatever he does. Lord, I have done this. Give it to me. There's a balance there. Is it grace? Is it mercy? Is it that man has anything to do? Well, of course, if we balance and look at all that is taught, and we're warned about this on the scriptures, not to just take one thing isolated. Yes, without God's grace and mercy, we are unprofitable servants. We will not see heaven. There ain't no, but that's God's part. But that doesn't mean that we don't have a part. Why would we even be here this morning? If we had zero part in this, why would we be here to obey the commandments, the five acts of worship on Sunday that we have to do? Why would we even do that? Well, as you balance things out and look at it, you say to yourself, I need to make sure I'm not taking extremes. Whatever the subject might be. And that's what these verses are warning us about. In 1 John 4:1, Deuteronomy 5:32-33, the principles within the scriptures, to try to be as balanced as we can. Don't take extremes, especially in the areas that, you know, when it's clear cut, there's absolutely no doubt. Absolutely no doubt. But don't take an extreme position that nullifies the other teaching in the scriptures, just as we pointed out in the religious world. Well, what are some other warnings? How about this one? Do not be anxious. Matthew chapter 6. Now, I'm probably going to spend the rest of my time on this, maybe one more point. It wasn't my intention to talk about anxiety, but I think this is something we all need. And I was talking to Diane about, you know, I want to preach a sermon that Holly Street needs. And of course, when I preach a sermon, I say to myself, what is it I need? What do I need to work on? What weaknesses do I have? What encouragement do I have? Need to have? So we need this. We need this. The warning is, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. So let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to have a little lengthy reading here. We're going to read verses we're all familiar with. But I want you to pay particular attention to these warnings that the scriptures is giving us. Okay? Matthew chapter 6, if you'll turn with me in your scriptures, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? These are warnings. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, he will not much more clothe you, O you of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own self, its own things. Sufficient for the day is its trouble. Now, we're studying the Sermon on the Mount on Sunday morning. Brian's doing an excellent job, and I don't know if he'll get to these verses, maybe not, but if he does, that's great. We can go over them again. But some translations say, therefore, be not anxious. I think this is the King James, New King James. King James says, we understand all that. We understand what being anxious is. And just to kind of show you what a problem this is in our country. So, according to the National Institute of Mental Health, okay, and you can go online, you can do your own research, you can find your own numbers, you know, more than 40 million people suffer from anxiety disorders. 40 million. Now I'm thinking, okay, I wonder how many at Holly Street suffer from anxiety disorders. You know, a lot of times what's out in the world is here. We're just same people, right? Let me share a few other things. People with anxiety disorders are heavy utilizers of emergency rooms and other medical services. Not surprising if you have 40 million people. But the thing I did find out as doing a little deeper research, a lot of people aren't being treated for it. They're just living with it. They're not going to have medically. Anxiety disrupts work, family, social lives, and some becoming housebound. They become housebound. It is the most common of all mental disorders. I agree with that. I've got a whole bunch of information here. I can give it to you after if you like. Just as anxiety disrupts work, family, etc., so it can hinder our service to the Lord. It can hinder us. So what is anxiety? Now, I think it's important to define this, because sometimes we're not talking about the same thing. And I looked up the Greek word, and I didn't want to waste time with that, but you come back to just your basic English definition. According to American Heritage Dictionary, a state of uneasiness, apprehensive, as about future uncertainties, a state of intense, apprehensive uncertainty and fear resulting from the anticipation of a threatening event or situation, often to a degree that the normal physical and physiological function of the affected individual is disrupted. According to this National Institute, there are different kinds of anxiety disorder. There's panic disorder. There's obsessive compulsion disorder. There's post-traumatic stress disorder, phobias that are social, specific, generalized anxiety disorder, constant, exaggerated, worrisome thoughts. We get the point, right? We basically get the point. Some causes of anxiety are perceived threat, pressure presented by conflict, an underlying fear. A lot of modern treatment for anxiety is medication, psychotherapy, behavior therapy, cognitive behavior therapy. And I underlined something here I thought was probably the best thing. What is called cognitive behavior therapy appears to address the underlying causes of anxiety. And it is in this realm that I believe faith in Jesus can really help one to overcome. Now we're going to look at that in a minute. Treating anxiety with medication can only relieve symptoms. It does not deal with the cause of the anxiety. Even behavioral therapy focuses primarily on handling the symptoms. If you were to go to a psychologist, go tell them what you do. A lot of times they're pill pushers. Here, take this. And this information even talked about the type of pills. And online, you can get this and you can get that. What about the Christian? This is a warning. Do not be anxious. Now, you ever think about just those words is implying that we can be without anxiety? Do not be anxious. When Jesus said that, was he saying, well, I don't know if it's going to work, but don't be. No, he's saying that it can work. Do not be anxious. That's a warning for each and every one of us. But what about you? What about you? Now, somebody might say, oh, I don't have any anxieties. Okay, well, that's great. But prepare yourself if you ever do. Prepare yourself that you can also have these. So think about this. Now, you fill in the blanks. Now, you've had anxieties in the past, you may currently have some, you may have some in the future. So what are some anxieties? And the other thing is I wanted to mention before I really get going here on just some examples, is that when you look at the definition of anxiety and Jesus saying, don't be anxious. Now, remember, look at Matthew 6, because that's what he's describing. The basic things in life. Now, you remember that scale? We don't want to take extremes, because if you read this and you took an extreme, you wouldn't even get out of the house in the morning. You wouldn't go to work. This isn't teaching no responsibility. This isn't teaching total dependence on God without any effort on my part. Now, some people described worrisome and having anxiety as, and I've heard this described before, well, what it's really talking about, Rob, is things you can't control. Now, in the scope of anxiety, when you can't control something, that ratchets up the anxiety. We'll talk a minute about children. You know, we have children, we might have anxiety about them, there's nothing we can do about them. That's at a whole other level. Because if there's problems that we can control, we have less anxiety about them. But that also doesn't mean that we don't have anxiety. There may be things you can control that you still have anxiety about, you still worry about. You know, a father trying to be a provider, he might be worried, can I still be a provider? Am I going to have my job next week? Is these kind of things. You see what I'm saying? So we can't take this extreme position that all anxiety is things out of our control. I don't believe that. I think we can have anxiety for things that are in our control. So what are some things? Well, here's what I think about. What about our health? What about our health? Now, a lot of times we can control that. Sometimes we can't control it. But if we have anxiety about these things, what's the answer? What's the answer? If I was to ask you, Carl, how do I get rid of anxiety with my health? We're all getting older. We're all getting older. I had this kind of bum leg this week, and I'm thinking, I don't know what's going on here. I'm only 52 years old. I don't, you know, something's going on with my leg here. Had a little bit of anxiety about it. If it doesn't get better, I'm going to go to the doctors. I'm going to be that chart up there. Hope he gives me some good news. But if he doesn't, he doesn't. That's minor. I mean, we have people here at Holly Street that are suffering. That are suffering, that have difficulties. Now, we can help one another. But God is saying, be not anxious. He's telling us, don't be anxious about these things. And we're going to look at the answer here in a minute. You already know the answer, I'm sure. Oh, what about health? What about wealth? You know, they say that people that are extremely rich, and we're all rich, and we can fall into this, their greatest fear, and they lose sleep at night through anxiety, through worry, that they're not going to have their money. It's going to be gone. They have millions of dollars, and they're thinking, the worst thing that can happen is all that's gone. That's true anxiety on these people's part. And maybe we can have that same. Am I going to lose everything I have? We don't want that. But wealth. How about just money in general? They say one of the number one problems in marriages is money. You know, and maybe people are saying, we don't have enough, or we want this and want that. It can be a real problem, don't get me wrong. Maybe the husband's not working and being a provider. And the wife has the anxiety because the bill collectors are calling. It can be a problem. We're not talking about all, we're not trying to fix all this. Oh, here's another line. Let's make another line. Something I've already mentioned. How about children? How about grandchildren? It's easy to have anxiety about our own children, about things that we can't control. And you know what? Sometimes things we can't control. And maybe they live with us. Maybe they don't. Maybe they have grandkids. Be not anxious. That's what the scriptures say. Jesus is saying this on the Sermon on the Mount. Don't worry about these things. And sometimes we can become just like these two people here. And I have seen some people that have anxiety, and you want to talk about a physical, I mean, it just devastated them. Physically, they couldn't function. They couldn't function. And you want to help those people. You really do. Well, what else? I mean, I'm going to leave this blank down here. You think about your own anxieties in life. And this isn't just for older people. Younger people, middle-aged people, anybody can have anxiety. They can worry. And we need to get things back to where they are if we want true help. If somebody said, I've got a lot of anxiety, Rob, I'd say, well, go seek your local physician. No, I would not. First thing I would do is say, I would seek the scriptures. First of all, what is your anxiety? Identify it. What is it? John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. No matter what you tell me, you can overcome it. Now, there is a place for medical. I understand people that are bipolar. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying there could be. I'm not a doctor. But I'm saying most of the time, as fellow Christians, we can overcome these things through God's word, because he's telling us to be not anxious. And I hate to tell you this, but a lot of people back then didn't have the medication that Jesus was talking to. It wasn't even invented yet. And what is he telling them? 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God, whatsoever is born of God, overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. The answer to our question is faith. It's faith. You look at the difficulties of those in the scriptures and the ones that could have had anxiety. The dependence on God. Now the ultimate example, as we close here, and we're going to see more tonight, is Jesus. We're just going to go to the ultimate example. Jesus in the garden. Go read it. Did he have anxiety? If he didn't, boy, I'm reading something else. But what did he do? What did he do? He overcame it, and he went to the cross. He could have called a legion of angels in and said, stop this now. He didn't. Him as the ultimate example. Look at the apostles. Look at Paul. The anxiety. Can you imagine standing? And here come some people with stones. That give me anxiety. Well, what did Paul say? Stone me. Go ahead. I mean, you know, it wasn't a pleasant thing, but they overcame the difficulties in this life. One more slide, and then we'll stop for this morning. Because this is also the answer. And I'm going to bring this up probably every time, because this is something I'm working on more and more. And it's a benefit and a blessing that if we don't use it, shame on us. Shame on us. The world doesn't. Most Christians don't. I'm convinced, if you're to survey, most Christians don't use the answer to this question. Oops, one more slide. Be you free from the love of money, content with such things as you have. For himself has said, I will no wise fail thee, nor will I in any wise forsake thee. It's the answer is God. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Dependence on God. And how do we do that? Be anxious for nothing. So somebody comes to me after service and says, you can be anxious for a few things. I'm going to tell them to turn over to Philippians 4, verses 5 and 6, and says, be anxious for nothing. There's nothing in that plate. But what? But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, and guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Whether you have physical problems, may you have spiritual problems, you may have financial problems, you may have children problems, you may have grandchildren problems, you might have work problems, you can just stack them on top of each other. Take it to God in prayer. Do you know when you're praying, you're thinking of those things spiritual? Your mind's off the physical. You ever think about that? When I'm praying to God, now you may be praying wrong. You may be praying selfishly that, hey, I want all these things. It just ain't happening. No, that's not the right kind of prayer. But I'm talking about scriptural prayer. We have anxieties. We can go to Him in prayer. We can go to Him in prayer. You tell me last week. Now, everything may have went smooth last week for you. I don't know. But there's a lot of things we should pray for. Maybe we should be praying for each other. Maybe those that have difficulties. Are we praying for him? How about Prince? How many of us have prayed for Prince? How many of us have prayed for Alan? I'm speaking to myself. How many of us have prayed just in general? How about the prayers for Holly Street? We'll look at that tonight. No matter what our anxiety is, we can get through it because we can communicate with God, who's the one that can help us. And these are warnings that he's telling us in the scriptures. Don't be anxious. But if you are, depend fully on God. Go to Him in prayer and ask Him for His help. And He will help you. You will get through it. Now that doesn't mean there won't be difficulties in life. But that means no matter what the difficulty is, we can get through it. All of them. Every one of them. If Jesus did it, we can do it because He is our example. But what about you this morning? The invitation is being extended for two reasons. One, for those that aren't Christians, that desire to become Christians, to believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, live a faithful life, or those that need the prayers of the congregation. Maybe you've had anxiety. We can pray one for another. What does the Bible say? To pray one for another. Confess one to another. To say, I've got a weakness. I need help. I mean, you can pray to God, but can you imagine having a whole congregation praying for you for the same problem? Effectual prayer of the righteous. God hears their prayers. We can pray one for another. And don't be afraid. Oh, I don't know. I don't want to tell anybody that I've been anxious about this and I've been anxious about that. Brethren, we all have anxiety. We all have worries. We all have difficulties in life. And you know what? Let the brethren help you. That's what one of the purposes of the Lord's church is. The fellowship we have one with another. And as Virgil mentioned Wednesday night in his talk, it takes patience. It takes what we should have. Those things to overcome. Those kind of things in this life. And let each and every one of us do that. The invitation is being extended now to anybody that needs it as we stand and sing.